there are these signs, maybe little warning lights going off. That
like
might
in
be
your
there.
Car, right?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Midweek Motivation Podcast, where we bring practical help for your faith and life. Here's today's episode.
I am Gabe Kolstad, and we are talking today about how to get the help you need. I'm joined by Stacy Romanaggi. How are you doing, Stacy?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Stacy is a qualified mental health professional with Cascadia Health.
Yes.
Works with children and family team. And it's a thrill to have you here because I know you spend a lot of time helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And in this series we've been in at Westside with Dragons and Dandelions, we've talked a lot about the battles that we fight.
Right.
Some giant battles, we call those dragons, you know, mm-hmm. some of those pesky, like persistent battles that are more like a dandelion that end up filling your lawn, you know.
Sure.
But I'm sure you've seen a lot of people actually go through and receive the help they need.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see, when they get to the end of it and you can they can see the progress that they've made and the growth that they've gone through and to get the help that, you know, that comes from getting help.
Yeah.
In the end.
But I'm sure you've also seen a lot of people that don't, you know, they start off or they know they need help, but they don't actually follow through. They don't end up with that healing or that breakthrough. That must be hard to watch.
It is. And you know, sometimes it's hard work.
Yeah.
And it gets to be a little intimidating, you know, to think, you know, they have to do all this work to get to the end.
Right.
But it's worth it.
Yeah. So let's talk about, for starters, what are the barriers? For me, I've got stuff that I would love to see a breakthrough in.
Sure.
I'm sure most people do. What do you think are the barriers that keep us from actually getting the help that we need?
Well, I think, you know, for a lot of people, they're afraid to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. They don't want to let people see their weaknesses. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of times, especially for men, you know, historically we've been told you need to be the strong one. You know, you keep your problems to yourself. Don't let people see you cry. And so we've gotten accustomed to just kind of stuffing everything down and not wanting to go out and ask for help and try to solve our problems by ourselves. But, you know, that doesn't work. You know, when you stuff it down, you know, it either comes out at one point, you just explode, or, you know, you never deal with it. And, and it's something you carry with you. And honestly, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask for help. And people want to help. And when you ask people for help, you know, they get joy out of helping you. And it's kind of a win-win situation. You get the help you need, and the person that's helping you feels good about what they've done and they've been able to help.
Mm-hmm.
I think also, you know, people, they like to help other people, but they don't want, you know, I don't need anybody's help.
Yeah,
you know, I'm happy to help other people, but, you know, I'm not going to let anybody.
What do you think is behind that?
Pride.
Okay.
Oh, for sure. And again, you know, just being afraid to let somebody in and see your vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hesitate to call them weaknesses because we all have them, right? We all have stuff that we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know.
What kind of stuff do you think comes up for people like they're watching, they're listening right now, and you're using words, they're probably having images pop up. What do you think people are thinking about, or what's your experience with this, with needing help in some of these areas of vulnerability?
Sure. Well, I think a lot of it is trauma from the past. Maybe they didn't grow up in a healthy home or a loving home, and they got the message that, you know, they weren't, you know, nobody wanted to help them. They weren't worthy. They weren't loved. They were a problem. You know, don't bother me. And so that would stop anybody from wanting to reach out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are emotional. I'm a crier. And I remember, you know,
I am too, actually. Kind of like,
what did you ever get, you know, I'll give you something to cry about. Right. So then you don't want to cry. And so, you know, people don't want to show their emotions. And so they're afraid to get to that point. And you know, a lot of times when you start to talk about your pain and start to talk about the things that you're going through, you do cry. I mean, you know, you just can't help it. You've been holding all of that down, and all those emotions just kind of come bubbling up and spilling out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as a pastor at a church for a long time, you know, watching and being a part of a lot of people's lives, definitely I agree that there is just this awkward barrier. And I think maybe part of it is spiritual. You know, I know that the enemy doesn't want people to experience breakthrough. And so there's not just maybe a person's self-perception or their assumptions about how other people are going to respond, and their fear of rejection maybe is at the root of some of that. But I think the enemy's also planting other seeds about how their problem isn't as big as somebody else's. Mm. So don't steal all the help, right?
Sure.
You know, don't take up the person's time because they got bigger problems to worry about or something, you know. But there's just so many barriers.
Or that lie that, you know, if you've got Jesus, you're going to have it all together, right?
Oh, goodness,
and
yeah.
You know, if you've got Jesus, then you don't have any problems or you mm-hmm. shouldn't have any mm-hmm. problems. And, you know, you don't want to.
That's a good point. Yeah, which is, I mean, certainly not in the Bible,
right?
But maybe there's a religious kind of expectation that people put on themselves, thinking there's a magic wand that passed over me. Maybe it didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Something must not have stuck for me.
And you don't want the outside to see what's going on inside, or you know, like mm-hmm. in your home, or mm-hmm. you know what you're dealing with, because you feel the need to put on this. My family's perfect, or I'm, you know, right. I have no problems. And
yeah. And one of the things that we always laugh about in my household is that, you know, we live in this place we've lived in for a long time. And everybody in our neighborhood knows that I'm the pastor of this church down mm-hmm. the street. And, sometimes there's this little bit of like being afraid to showcase like the reality of, you know, just a normal person's life where right. there's arguments and there's messes and, you know, on and on. And I think everybody probably deals with that
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So there's reasons why people don't go through and ask for help. It requires vulnerability. And we gotta speak up. But let's talk a little bit about the signs that somebody does need help.
Some help. Because sometimes you don't know.
Yeah.
Right? You're so busy just trying to get through what you need to do mm-hmm. the next day that you're not recognizing things that are happening to you. Like, for instance, you may be a little more irritable than, you know, normal, or really more emotional than you usually are. Mm-hmm. Your feelings are maybe going haywire. They're just all over the place. And you may not be seeing that, but certainly, you know, those people around you are probably noticing that those emotional changes in you, and
yeah.
they may even point it out to you.
Yeah.
Your body, you know, stress and pain does terrible things to your body. And so, you know, you may have headaches or migraines or stomach aches, and, you know, you're just thinking, you know, maybe I ate something tonight, mm-hmm. but that stomach ache could be caused by all of the, you know, the stuff you're stuffing down and not wow. wanting to deal with and get help with. Your thoughts change when you're in a position where you really need to help ask for help. You know, if you find that you're thinking, you know, maybe the world would be better off if I'm not here, or you've got some thoughts, suicidal ideation, you know, some thoughts, you know, maybe dying wouldn't be such a bad thing. I mean, get some help. Talk to somebody, get some help there. You know, your thoughts might be all over the place. You know, when you're going through some trauma or you know, experiences like that, you know, your brain's not working the way it's supposed to be working. And so your thoughts will be all mixed up. You might have trouble focusing mm-hmm. or remembering things, or you may be hyper-focused on one thing. It could be something somebody said to you, or it could be, you know, you're thinking about getting something to maybe help ease your pain, maybe going out for a drink, getting a drink, or all you can think about is going home and getting that drink, or, you know, something else that would maybe try to distract mm-hmm. what you're going through there.
Hey, just jumping in right in the middle of this podcast episode to tell you about a resource that you need in your life. You know, if you feel ever stuck in your faith, or if you feel like, I want to grow my faith, but I just don't quite know what the steps are, we got a resource for you called Sticky Faith in a Slippery World. I mean, this world is changing and it's crazy, and we all need something firm to stand on. And I wrote a book for you called Sticky Faith in a Slippery World. You can get your copy right now at the link in the description. I got to say, like, the things that you're saying make so much sense to me, just because, I mean, I think if people didn't have this sense before a few years ago, then all the pressure of the pandemic and recovering mm-hmm. from that, mm-hmm. certainly most people have probably felt some of these things. And like the thing about your thoughts being all over the place, like, am I crazy? Like, I think most people have probably had that feeling.
Sure.
Like, why are I can't even keep track of my own brain. And I think that's such an interesting way to look at it, is there are these signs, maybe little warning lights going off. That
like
might
in
be
your
that.
Car, right?
Yeah, might be that. Could be like the body thing. That's right. So. And what else would you say would be some signals?
Well, I think certainly your interaction with other people.
Okay.
So you know, you may try to stay away from family or friends,
okay.
or not go to a class that you had been taking, or just really try to isolate yourself because you know, you just don't want to be around people. But you've always been a social person, but you just don't want to be around people.
Yeah. Wow. So when you are in, if somebody's out there and they're like, oh gosh, you're like reading my mail right now. Can you talk to us a little bit about the types of help that we could be thinking about, you know, here? We're saying getting help, that's a pretty broad thing, but what are we really talking about?
Well, I think a good place to start is to get a physical. I mean, it could be, you know, it could just be you've got a vitamin deficiency or, you know, you're low on iron or, you know, there's just something out of whack that going to see a medical doctor, you know, they might do a physical and that'll take care of that. You know, reach out to a mental health professional. Mm-hmm. There used to be such a stigma about going and seeing a therapist, but I don't think that's the case so much anymore. You know, that's another place where you could go. Talk to your friends or family, or you never know who has a, you know, maybe has a similar experience. And they're going to be able to let you know that you're not alone, right? Mm-hmm. And walk beside you to help you get the help that you would need.
Yeah. Do you think that people project the response that's going to happen if they ask for help, and that this is one of the things that keeps them from actually asking for help?
You know what? I think that could be the case. Yeah. You know, I know what they're going to say to me.
Right.
You know, blah, 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 blah. So why even bother?
Right.
Yeah.
And what's been your experience watching people ask for help and how people then really do actually react when they open up and get vulnerable?
Well, I think there's such a release, you know, everything that you've been hiding, you know, you've released and you're allowing yourself to be authentic and vulnerable. And I think, you know, you'll find, at least in my experience, that when I got to that, when I've been in that situation, I find that there's so many other people that have gone through experiences much like mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can help me, or you know, help you know that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
That there's healing at the end of this.
Yeah,
you know that you can, you know, get some help, and it'll be better in the end.
That's really good. I think as I even think about this idea of how to find the help you need, one of the things that comes to mind is the why behind it all. We're talking about health. We're talking about get healthy is really be the best you could be, because, I mean, there's lots of reasons why that's important. I think one is that God made us to live that full life, to experience his love and experience great relationships, experience freedom and growth and all of those things. But I also think what motivates me in times like this, even when I've got to go, oh, this is going to be hard. I got to get vulnerable. I got to ask for some help. Is I'm thinking about the people who need me to be healthy for them.
Sure.
And, you know, so it's my family, it's my wife, you know, it's my team. And just the idea that I could be somebody who blesses them if I will do the work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a really strong reason for me.
Sure.
And hopefully for all of us, we can think about somebody that needs us to be on our A game. You know, and that could be that motivator to get us past the discomfort of, am I going to actually go for it and, and ask?
And, you know, I think the more often you ask for help, the easier it's going to be, number one. And then you, you know, you get to see that you're giving somebody else the opportunity to bless you and help you. And, you know, and therefore you'll be able to do that in return.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned a few places we could go to get help, you know. Talk to a doctor, great idea. Talk to a mental health professional, talk to friends, family.
And I didn't mention, if you are feeling, you know, so you've got suicidal ideation, you're thinking about, you know, you'd be better off dead, call 988, which is a suicide and crisis line.
Okay.
And, you know, you can talk to somebody there and they're going to help you get the help.
Wow, I don't know if a lot of people know about that. 988.
988.
Okay. That's a great tool, great resource. okay, I've probably messed this up before, just to be straight up. I've overshared, I've entrusted really important information to people, and it hasn't always stayed confidential. You know, maybe for me, I've needed some guidelines. What do you think would be some good guidelines for this kind of thing?
Well, it comes down to, thinking about the amount of access you're going to give somebody to what you're going through and your emotions. And sharing maybe with people, only with people that you know well and know that you can trust. And I think the danger in maybe sharing too much with people that you don't really know is that you may be triggering something in them. You know, something you're sharing with them might trigger a past experience for them, which, you know, they maybe haven't dealt with. So it's going to put them back in a position of, you know, that pain again, or, they've kind of moved on from it, but man, it's going to trigger some old pain to come back. That's why, you know, going to a mental health professional or, you know, a physician where you know that it's going to be in confidence, you know, that they're not going to share what you're going through with anybody.
Good place to start, probably.
Yeah.
One thing that I've seen is, with being a follower of Jesus, he calls us into community. And we do find that when people are in community and they, especially if it's, you know, something that they've done for a little bit with the same people, you know, if you've got that, like you said, the word trust. If you've got trust with people, there's familiarity, there's, you know, you kind of have those Me Too moments when you're looking across the room and you're like, okay, they get me. And, you know, sometimes you get that signal that it's safe to share with somebody. I think that can be really helpful. And that's why community matters so much, is that there are people that understand you. And that then, even if they don't have the answers, they can still listen and encourage you and pray for you. And be there for you.
Absolutely.
But this is even great. Maybe people are listening going, well, I feel okay, but maybe it's a good thing to be a little more sensitive to and aware of those around us that might at some point ask us for help. And what advice would you have for them? If somebody asks you for help and you don't have the answers, what can we do?
Well, I think a lot of times people, when they ask for help, they're really wanting somebody to talk to, right? Or somebody to listen to them. So you don't have to have the answers. You know, you could say to them, gosh, I hear the pain you're going through. I want to help you. Let's see what we can do together to find the help that you need.
Okay. Kind of grab them by the hand, so to speak.
Yeah.
And walk with them through that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
And remember the courage that it took for them to come to you and ask for help, right? Because, you know, we've talked about all of the barriers that that stop us from asking for help. So it does take, for some people, it takes a lot of courage to get to that point when they're ready to ask and receive help from other people.
That's really good. Well, thanks for sharing with us, Stacey.
And
proud of what you're doing with your career
and
helping all the people you help. And if somebody's out there and they want to get a hold of you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Probably by email.
Okay.
My email address is Stacey, S-T-A-C-Y, L Allen, A-L-L-E-N, 14 at gmail.com.
Okay. Stacey, L Allen, 14 at gmail.com.
Yep.
Great. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Midweek Motivation. To make sure you don't miss any content in the future, please subscribe, share, and if you enjoyed this, give us a like, and consider popping by a Westside service some weekend. You can find out more at westsidecommunitychurch.com.